am I. Good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. On the programme today, three people explain why they love their church. Phil Crane says it's not too late to join him on pilgrimage, and we join Louise Whiteleg in praying for Haiti and for Afghanistan. But let's start with another great hymn of praise, Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise. Uplifting singing there from the Huddersfield Choral Society. More from them a little later in the programme. It's impossible to be unmoved by the heartbreaking stories and distressing images that we're seeing each day as the desperate situation in Afghanistan unfolds. But for Christian Aid representative Louise Whiteleg, her distress turned into determination. Determination to do something. And within a matter of days, she'd organised and advertised island-wide a four-hour prayer vigil in Trinity Methodist Church here in Douglas last Thursday. There were times of silence, Bible readings, prayers, and even a live link with the Bishop of Manchester, who was leading another prayer vigil across. Louise joins us now to recreate the spirit of the vigil, sharing her thoughts, music and a Bible reading, and minister from Trinity at Rosemount, Reverend Richard Hooton, adds one of the special prayers written for everyone affected by the crisis in Afghanistan.
I switched the television on and saw this scene unravelling in front of me, which was what was happening in Afghanistan with the Taliban and the fear and the panic. Now, obviously with my Christian Aid role, I've got colleagues who are in Afghanistan, and I've been involved closely with the programmes they've been doing working with women and children, and I was just horrified. I mean, I don't mind telling you, I was in tears. Sometimes we're a bit numb to all the stuff that happens on the news, but it had me in floods of tears, just the agony of dangling freedom in front of people and then the threat of it being whisked away. The women that won't be able to use their education that they've got, they won't be able to leave the house, they'll have to cover up fully, just the loss, The other thing that struck me was I know there's a lot of ex-servicemen on the island and families of servicemen who have had horrific experiences and the impact it has on them. So it just felt so desperate. And then I thought to myself, well, it is desperate. And what can I do? And I thought, I can pray. We can pray. That's what we can do. So I had this idea of organising a vigil so everyone could join in prayer, because it's just so powerful. I was talking to somebody and they said to me, but what can prayer do? Prayer is a foundation of all action. Prayer is where the seeds are planted, where the action grows from. So just reflecting back on the prayer vigil on Thursday, it just felt so powerful and so special. I'm struggling to put it into words. There was silence, there was reflection. People just came in and just sat and prayed, listened to the prayers, listened to the readings. It was just so powerful. I organised prayer stations for people. One of the ones, though, that I kept revisiting myself again and again, it just struck me as so powerful. There's been a photograph in the media of over 600, I think it was 640 Afghans fleeing Afghanistan as Kabul fell. And they're all sat in the belly of this great big American plane. And it reminded me of this piece of art that I've seen, which is from Jesus's viewpoint when Jesus was on the cross. And it's the eyes all staring up at you with different expressions of horror and awe and fear. And there was the contrast between the two, really powerful imagery. It was really important to me to attract people of all faiths and none, because when there is a crisis, people want to come together. And the other thing that's not actually been spoken of a lot is the earthquake in Haiti. It was a 7.2 earthquake, and it's done devastation across Haiti again. And it only comes a month after the president was assassinated. So they've got political unrest, they've got natural disasters, and we've hardly heard about it at all on the news. But this vigil was for both of the disasters, so which is why the prayer station I had a globe, one of the children's globes, and it had all different articles around it, just reminding us that regardless of our faith, different cultures, different languages, different skin colours, we are all belonging to one globe and we all need to look after each other.
On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said. 'And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
So when this was dreamt up, it was just Monday evening for it to happen on Thursday. It coincided with a prayer vigil that they were having in the UK via Christian Aid that had got all sorts of different world leaders. So I decided to pick a central church in Douglas to try and facilitate as many people as possible. But also I know that people have joined up via the internet and joined us watching the vigil and also have joined us praying at home. So it's been a whole island effort and it's just been beautiful knowing that there's been people in the church praying, people praying over the internet on Zoom, and people praying in the comfort of their own homes as well. So I keep coming back to that word powerful, and it has been powerful. And I get the sense that this evening will have sowed some brilliant seeds which will flourish.
Let us pray. A prayer for Afghanistan. O God of mercy and of peace, we hold before you the peoples of Afghanistan. Be living bread to those who are hungry each day. Be healing and wholeness to those who have no access to health care amidst the ravages of pandemic. Be their true home to all who have been displaced. Be open arms of loving acceptance to those who fear because of their gender, ethnicity, religious or political views. Be peace to those engaged in armed conflict and those who live within its shadow. Turn our hearts and minds to your ways of just and gentle peace. Open our eyes to see you in acts of compassionate care. Strengthen our hearts to step out in solidarity with your suffering people, and hold us all in your unfailing love. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who emptied himself of all but love, in order to bring life in all its fullness. Amen.
Thank you, Louise Whiteleg and Reverend Richard Hooton, leading us in prayer for Afghanistan and for Haiti, one devastated by war, the other by earthquakes, storms and political unrest that's hampering the vital relief work. And in answer to those who question the value of prayer in a crisis, in the 24 hours after Louise announced the prayer vigil, she received donations totalling in excess of £27,000 for Christian Aid's relief work in those countries. If you'd like to talk to Louise about this or any aspect of Christian Aid's work, she'd love to hear from you. Text or phone her on 474275. 474275. Today we're starting on another new feature on the programme. Every so often I'll be visiting a church and putting one question to some of the people who go there. Why do you love your church? Today I'm going to Peel, to the Methodist Church in Athol Street, to ask the same question of Onnie Ayres, her mum Sarah Ayres, and the minister in Peel Methodist Church, Reverend Andy Fishburne. Let's start with Onnie, who's 12 years old. What does she specially love about her church?
Well, quite a lot of things, but some of my top ones are our band and all of the musical instruments that we have here that we are able to access. So I know that me and my sisters enjoy coming down to have a little sing to some worship songs, and that's always amazing. And I love our evening services. They're called Feren, which means a wellspring in Manx. That's just a more contemporary style of service. And there's break-off groups and we can do loads of different activities. I think the last time we had one, we had cardboard sculpting and I turned into an ATM machine. So that was great. And I really enjoy the fact that our church is just so friendly to all ages. So it's able to cater for the younger ones. We have our Pebbles group, which is their session that they do. We have my age group, so kind of teens and young adults. We have Rocks and Rocks PM. We meet on a Friday evening and we play games and we just have a chat and we go through a passage. So that's always very good as well. Our evening meetings on a Friday, that's our main point of contact where we're able to push our thoughts above a little bit more and inquire about what we want to know. So that's what I would say is our main point of contact for those kind of thoughts. We also have a service called Cujac, which is on the fourth Sunday of the month. In Manx, it means all together. So it really is what it says on the tin. I take part in the goals. So we have a little puppet show where we have five goals and we hear about them getting up to mischief and everything around Peel. So we have some songs which are more modern and we have some songs which are more traditional, which is looking after everybody's worshipping needs. We also have a story which a lady does in our church and she has pictures of Sylvanian families. It's a very nice thing. You can sit on the floor with all the cushions splayed out and we can just chill. And then there's also an interview which my dad does, where he talks to different people around the church and we hear their testimonies and about their lives really and just about them.
Do you think that's a way of introducing older people in your church family to some newer things that they perhaps wouldn't otherwise be attracted to?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's kind of out of comfort almost, but it's just introducing a new way and new generation into our church, which I think is really, really amazing. You're older, then it also is very good at meeting the needs of people as well. So it's great for everyone. But yeah, that's what I love about my church.
I love this church in Peel because it reaches out to our community. I think there are lots of opportunities for us as Christians to be light and salt in our society. And so I feel that Peel Methodist is really beginning to reach out to people in Peel and show them God's love in very practical ways. And so there's a Thursday afternoon group for older people to come along and share fellowship. We have our Rocks group for children and for young people. And recently, we've just started a Renew Wellbeing space, which is a place of safety where people can come and it's okay not to be okay. And so that space is based around activities where people bring their hobbies, share their hobbies, make relationships and establish friendships. They can come and pray if they want to. It's a space of safety where we're known by our name and not by any labels. We've just started, so we haven't launched officially because we felt it was very important that we felt it was a place of peace for us before we start to spread out further. But we've already had people coming in from the community who have found it a space where they can just come each week, be present, enjoy a jigsaw or two, or a puzzle, or whatever they fancy doing. I know it's going to be a real blessing to us and to them.
Reverend Andy Fishburne, why do you love being a part of this church?
Well, absolutely, for all of the things that we've just heard from Oni and Sarah, I love the way that it's managed to blend a contemporary modern outreach of church, but also keeping our traditional values as well. We seem to have been able to strike a happy medium where people of all ages genuinely interact with each other. I think that's brilliant. And it's been great that people are up for trying new things and for having the church redeveloped. The church looks a lot more modern than it ever did. We've kept the classical beauty of the church, but also brought in a space at the side where we've got sofas and books and comfortable seating and tables so people can do craft and things while services are going on. So the church is now, I think, a really nice place where it's the best of the old and the best of the new. I came with a blank sheet of paper when I came to visit. And before I started InPost, which was about 6 months before I started, and I asked the people in the congregation at the time, what were their dreams? And I really valued doing this because they all said without fail, we would like to have more young people and families involved because we don't have any. So I had 6 months then to pray about this and to think about this, and took that very much as a mandate to come up with some ideas for how we could change so that we weren't targeting just one type of people, that we were targeting multiple types of people. And the church were willing to make a few changes and to changes in the building and the way that we worship and the things that we offer. And we've been able to welcome some new younger people into our family, which is amazing. So it's been wonderful. I think it's been grounded in prayer and grounded in the work of God, who wants to reach out and to welcome all people.
Now, if people listen to this and are interested by what Oni and Sarah and yourself have been saying, there is an opportunity to come and have a look, isn't there?
Yes, that's right. We recently had a big building project done where we've reinforced one of our walls and redecorated the interior of the church. And we thought it would be a good idea to offer an open day. So on the 28th, which is a Saturday, you can come along, have some tea and coffee, have some lovely homemade cakes. You can hear our wonderful organ, which has just been restored, playing some music. You can come and meet people and you can see different representations of all the different activities that are going on. So if you've always wondered what it looked like inside Peel Methodist Church, this is a good opportunity to do so. It's a beautiful building. And whenever people come in, they're always amazed by how beautiful it looks and how comfortable and friendly it feels. So this is a chance to come along with no pressure, just to come and meet us and to say hello and see this church, which is at the heart of the local community.
And that's next Saturday, the 28th, over the big bank holiday weekend. And the church is open?
It's open between 2 and 4. So pop in, have a cup of tea. And see, so it's 2 to 4 on that Saturday the 28th.
And if you're in any doubt at all where Peel Methodist Church is, it's almost exactly opposite the Centenary Centre in Peel.
Thank you to Oni and Sarah Ayres and to Reverend Andy Fishburne, all from Peel Methodist Church, and they'll be very happy to welcome you if you pop into their open afternoon next Saturday the 28th between 2 and 4pm. On the programme last week, Phil Crane joined us to offer an invitation to walk the island's pilgrimage route, the Triskelion Way, that runs from Rushen Abbey to Mackled. The total distance of 36 miles will be divided into 4 sections, one for each day of the big bank holiday weekend, and you can choose to do as much or as little as you wish. Phil mentioned that short readings and poems are sometimes used for times of reflection during the walks, but sometimes the walkers themselves are inspired to write about what they see. That was certainly the case for local poet John Dog Collister, who wrote this.
Thank you. Spoot Vane by John Dogcollister. The gracious chapel shows its age, the many years have taken toll. Panes cracked and lost, some absent slates, but walls gave strength to many a soul. The walls now held in ivy grip, the door looks out on ancient ways, that many walked to fields and fairs, as was the custom in those days. A winding path leads to the stream with ford above the great Spoot Vane, where brown trout lurk in shadowy pool and follow meanders down the glen. Above, bound by tall beech and elm, an ancient keel in peaceful shade. Forebears called it Cabell Ferric, its earthen banks so neatly laid. For ages, great Glenmore has known the tread of foot and tramp of horse, the hiss of steam, the singing rail, as iron spanned its water course. Now memories linger like the scent of honeysuckled summer's eve, where bluebells throng, rejoicing spring, soon winter's grip, but do not grieve. For always man has touched each season, known that summer follows spring. The quiet chapel and the keel have known the praises voices sing. Pathways buzz from children's laughter, the chaffinch and the raven's call. All who discover will be moved by the peace at Spoot Vane Fall.
If you'd like more information about the Triskelion Way walk over the bank holiday weekend, have a word with Phil on 437 248, 437 248. And we finish off today with a look at some more items on our notice board. On Saturday the 28th, Sulby Methodist Church invite you to their coffee drop-in at Argyle on St Jude's Road at Sulby Bridge, the home of Henry and Ruth Gorry. Drop in any time between 10:30 and 1 p.m. for homemade cakes, jams, greeting cards and much, much more. Next Saturday night, the 28th, at 7:30, there'll be a welcome service for the new head of the Methodist Church on the island. The new district chair of the Methodist Church on the Isle of Man is Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett, and everyone is warmly invited to her service of welcome in Trinity Church at Rosemount here in Douglas. Well, there's no motorbike racing this year, but there will still be some of the traditional favourite refreshments next weekend. TTTs will be served in Bride Church Hall on Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday, each day of the Big Bank Holiday weekend from noon until 5 p.m. And also next weekend, the Friends of St Jude's Church will be serving afternoon tea at Tynegelgi, the old schoolhouse opposite St Jude's Church, on 28th, 29th and 30th of August, between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m, costing £10 per person. And that's all that we've time for today. News for the notice board and requests for your favourite hymns to be included in future programmes can all be sent to me via email, judithleigh@manxradio.com. I'll be back tonight at 9 with Sundown. But for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning. Manx Radio.